Welcome, everybody. This is completely your forum, Q&A. Don't be shy. Feel free to jump in with questions. And my name is Sarah. I am your puppy coach. So I'll go ahead and I'll turn it over to you guys. What is going on?
I'll jump in right away. This is Jersey's mom.
Yeah.
And Jersey is now 13 weeks old. And she has been a submissive, excited peer ever since she was a little girl. So this week it came to a huge head that she is just doing this submissive peeing. You know, if a repairman comes to the house and she's a repairman comes to the house and I don't even let her go to meet them, and she still peed. So when we're out on a leash, she's walking beautifully on a leash until we see people on the path, and then she just wants to yank, you know, and run after them and just plops down and pees, and in her excitement to want to, and I'm restraining her, sitting down next to her, sort of saying sit, and she sits and stays, but before that she's already squatted and peed. And then this morning I left her in the pen. I had to do a quick errand, and my husband, who she pees every time she sees him, and in excitement, and he went to pick her up after she peed and to bring her outside, and she wouldn't go. She just hid under a breakfast table and just sat there, and he wanted me to tell you that he did fall once holding her. He tripped on the gate, and he wondered if that was like a catastrophic childhood event for her, because she just sat under the table until I came home just now. And then when she saw me, which she never does when she sees me, she was so excited to see me, she promptly squatted and peed. So I want some help about how to help her with this. I'm already trying. When we meet people outside, I have them talk to me and then greet her by squatting down and after she's calmed down. And but is there anything else I can do to help this little adorable cutie pie?
Oh, poor Jersey. Bless her heart. Okay, so a couple things that you can be doing is reminder that people don't necessarily have to be touching our dogs, right? Yeah. That interaction, socialization still can happen from a distance because they're still seeing, hearing, smelling, processing all that. And so for her, you know, that saying that you hear frequently, distance is our friend.
No one's touching her.
Okay.
No one's touching her. Yeah.
Good. Okay. So when you are like outside on a walk, for her right now, her bubble, so to speak, that bubble of excitement might be 10 feet. Okay. So for her right now, try to pay attention to whatever that distance is where she can be still excited and, ooh, there's a person, but she's not past that bubble, not past that threshold where the proximity is going to be increasing her arousal and she pees. So try to take a mental note of wherever that bubble is.
Mm-hmm.
That bubble might vary depending on who the person is. So it might be more for children because they might be more exciting. Okay. Or it might be more for men just because of a bigger outline, bigger physical structure.
Yeah, I bet you're right about that. Yeah, for her.
And it also could be things like people in uniform or people with hats or men with beards might need a bigger bubble for her. So try to pay attention to some of those variables so that you can be giving her that appropriate bubble distance for right now, okay? Because we want her to have successful greetings, so to speak, and interactions so that she's not peeing and she'll be building her confidence. And then as she matures and her confidence grows, that bubble will get smaller, okay? For at home, when it's repairmen especially, I would just go ahead and put her in the X-Pen or put her in the crate. If they have to wait at the door for a little bit, so be it. So especially with repair guys or delivery people, if they're bringing something into your home, dogs process that differently, and rightfully so. Because when we have workmen in our house, they don't behave appropriately. They don't behave like normal guests that come in and talk with us and sit down. Instead, repairmen start walking around the house like they own it. And dogs know that's not exactly normal. So that is kind of more of a stressful situation for them. So I would just go ahead and put her in the X-Pen or the crate so that she's got that big bubble of distance and she's not even having to engage or interact with them. When you're having your house guests, if you can have your hubby be doing the door greetings and letting them in so that you can have her back at a distance on a leash, exactly how you're doing with sit. Good. Oh, excellent. Again, keeping that bubble bigger. Ideally, if you can plan ahead of, we know we've got company coming, try to get her out to go potty right before they come so that hopefully she's got an empty bladder.
Yeah.
Can't, life happens. Can't always, you know, can't always plan for that. And with your husband, that could have been, you know, that he tripped and he fell while he was holding her. That could have been kind of a scary experience for her. So what I would suggest, and this is kind of back to with the interactions with strangers out and about in public, that we are not coming to the dog. We're not holding out a treat for them to come and take from us. We're not basically trying to bribe them to come closer. That usually tends to backfire. What dogs tend to do is they'll quickly come in, dart in, grab the treat, and back away again. So they're not really learning to build confidence with that. How they do learn to build their confidence with interacting with new people is if they think it's their idea, if they are in control of coming to greet or not, just sitting back and watching. So when you're out in public or you're having house guests, I would encourage you to be encouraging them, just ignore her. Just ignore her. Don't try to talk to her. Don't try to coax her in. If she comes over and she's starting to sniff them, then you can acknowledge and say, good girl, Jersey. That's a brave girl. And then just go about that. Okay. So that way it's under her control. With very, very fearful dogs, I have seen this approach work incredibly well. This is really hard to control another person to work on this effectively, but I'll explain it to you so that you can kind of keep this concept in your head so that when you're out and about. So, for example, let's say that my Frankie is completely fearful of men. Okay. So what we would do is and her bubble is going to be, 10 feet from a man before she completely melts down, right? So what I would do is I would have a man standing 10 feet from her. They're going to throw a treat on the floor towards her. And as she approaches the treat, they're going to back up. So what ends up happening is that Frankie is going to see like, okay, there's a treat. And look at that. He's being respectful. He's not asking for more and pushing my boundaries. He's backing up. Okay, she eats that treat. He's going to do it again, throw a treat on the floor. As she approaches to eat that treat, he backs away. You repeat this. And what you end up seeing is the dog will start approaching more and more and closer to that man because they're having a positive association, but it's under their control. So there's none of this reaching out, trying to bribe the puppy in. That they kind of feel like, oh, you're about to trick me. Okay.
So you're saying something that feels important. So when she wants to run up and wagging her tail like crazy and squatting and peeing and wants to lick the repairman, it's really that she is intimidated by the repairman?
For her, it sounds like it's excitement. Okay. And submissive peeing can happen for a couple different reasons. So, you know, and we've talked about this in the past where it's lack of confidence. So she's not fearful, but what she's doing when she's peeing is saying, please like me, please like me. I'm not trying to be bossy here. I'm being a good puppy. So it is still kind of a lack of confidence, but it is, you know, it's not out and out fear, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what she's doing with my husband too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So are you thinking that that would be a good thing for my husband and me to do for him to, yeah. Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah. So I would, you know, with him, you can explain the rules of little throwing the treat game and he backs up. And if you do that a couple times, then I bet Jersey's going to be like, oh, okay, we're buddies again. I trust you because you're being respectful of kind of my bubble.
Okay.
So I would try that with him and for him as well of not doing the bribing in of come here.
Yeah, no, he doesn't do that actually, but nevertheless, this could be very helpful. Yeah. Yes.
And that can help just kind of reset her mindset about that incident when he tripped and fell. Of just kind of building back that relationship on her terms.
Okay.
Where she's in control of that. And you're just going to keep that bubble so that she is having these interactions at whatever distance she needs for right now where she's not peeing. Okay. So that she is learning this is the good way to interact. I get treats thrown at me on the ground when I'm over here and I don't pee. That's not necessary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Terrific. Thank you, Sarah.
Sure. Sure. But yeah, you can explain the rules to your hubby and you can practice that. And I bet you will see a big difference. Okay. Oops. And thank you. Nancy did put in the chat box, which I know that Joan, we've talked about. Anytime we're having issues with peeing, we always consider a UTI, but you and I have talked about that. And I think that it's not a UTI because the peeing is happening in these specific situations. But yes, thank you, Nancy. Anytime we've got pee-pee issues, I always suspect a UTI and take your puppy in for a urinalysis. Because even puppies that can hold it overnight, the entire night in their crates, successfully, they could still have a UTI. Okay. All right. What else is going on? Everybody's going to be quiet and shy.
Oh, go ahead.
And
what is the best way to get a 3-month-old puppy to recognize her name?
Wow, perfect. So you can play the name game. And dogs that know their names very, very well That's your first step to redirect them from anything naughty. Okay. So ideally what we want is when we say their names, no matter what they're doing, their little head should spin around towards us because their name should mean, hey, you, something else is coming. It might be puppy sit, puppy treat, puppy food, puppy come. Okay. So it's, hey, you, something else is coming. I have a video on the Facebook page of working on this with a puppy from my last litter. It's super simple. So all you're going to do is you're going to take a handful of treats. We don't care what puppy is doing, so long as they're not in the middle of doing something naughty. So don't ask puppy to sit or down or look at you. It doesn't matter. All you're going to do with your little handful of training treats is say your name, give her a treat. Say your name, give her a treat. Say your name, give her a treat. That's it. They think it's a pretty ridiculously fun game, and it is. And you are going to notice that pretty quickly in real life, you're going to then try to transfer it in real life. So she might be quietly being a good puppy, chewing on a toy. Say your name. If she stops what she's doing and she looks at you, yes. You can say your marker word. You can use your clicker. Then run over and give her a treat. Okay? That's it. And definitely, definitely do encourage everybody to be really teaching names and that little name game and positive associations with their names. It is the first step in redirecting them from anything naughty. And it is also, unfortunately, something that we have to kind of have a refresher training on with our dogs into adulthood later on in life. Just because normally in our families, we talk about the dogs, right? When we're not necessarily talking to them. So my husband will get home from work and, you know, how was your day? Well, you know, how was your day? My day was fine. Guess what Pacino did today? And then Harper did this, and then Frankie, and then Desi, blah, 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 blah. So I'm telling him silly dog stories. So unfortunately, I'm teaching them to ignore me. Right? So doing a little refresher with the name game is a good thing to do during their lives. Okay. Make sense, Anne?
Yes. Thank you very much.
And by the way, the name game, that is exactly how you would put value and positive associations on either a clicker or a marker word. Same thing. Click, treat. Say their marker word. Yes, treat. Yes, treat. Okay. Same thing. And I've got everybody looking at me now because I just said their marker word 5 times.
To follow up on the name game, I played the name game, but I'm not sure if we took it too far. Every time I say Leo's name, he thinks it's a recall. This isn't necessarily a bad thing, or is it?
It's not a bad thing. Pat yourself on the back. He definitely knows his name. That's fantastic. But I would just say that if you're just saying his name, but you didn't necessarily want him to come to you, just don't reward it.
Okay.
So you can just say, oh, hi, buddy. Good job. But then just let it go. Don't give him a treat. It's kind of the same thing with when we teach our dogs to shake. And then you have a dog that endlessly comes over and demands that you shake. They're basically treating us like a vending machine.
Yes.
So unless you've asked for a behavior, just ignore it.
Okay.
So I would not, if they put their paw out and they're swatting at you, demanding that you shake, don't put your hand out and return the favor because they're being demanding.
Okay? Yes, that's very good. I have been, I'm the weak link, and I have been a vending machine at times. I have to keep on that with my older dog as well. So thank you for that very helpful suggestion. While I have you, can I also ask about bite inhibition fundamentals. Okay. I just want to make sure that I'm doing everything correctly. Leo is 12 weeks old now, and we've been using the tagline and also redirecting to appropriate things to chew. And if he gets really nippy, assuming all his needs are met, that he's gone potty, et cetera, as sometimes nippiness is a sign that he needs to go. Assuming all that is taken care of, we will also put him in the crate for a timeout or the X-Pen with something to chew. In the last couple days, I have started with Leave It. I had established Leave It before, but when I'm putting on my shoelaces, tying my shoelaces and stuff, or I just don't want him to nip at my clothes, I've been doing Leave It. Is there anything else I should be doing, should not be doing? Because he's a biter. I would love to inhibit it. I'm sure lots of other puppy people have similar problems, but I would really like it to stop.
Okay. So I love your little checklist that you went through of all the options that you're going through. So yes, you're going through that checklist of are his needs met? Excellent. 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 And that you're remembering that, yes, sometimes puppies will have that witching hour where they're just tired and they need a nap and they kind of physically can't behave or play appropriately because they're just too tired. So excellent that you're remembering those things. You can do Leave It. The caution I would give there is Leave It is an anticipatory command. So it is, you've dropped, you know, your vitamins or your medication on the floor. And it's kind of a heads up, leave it before it's in dog's mouth. It can even be when you're out on walks and you look ahead on the path or on the sidewalk and you see a rabbit or a squirrel. Anticipatory, leave it. I don't want you going towards that. If something's already in their mouth, you've lost the window of opportunity on leave it. Okay. It's no longer anticipatory. Then it would become a drop it command. Okay. With clothing, shoelaces, things like that, you want to be careful that if you are using a drop it command, that you are not following that up with a treat. Okay. That you would just be giving, you know, good boy, Leo, and that you give him, you know, some petting. Do not give him a treat in that situation because dogs are so good with their sequencing. What they think then, unfortunately, often they will think this is a dance and it's got these steps. So I put the pant leg in my mouth, they tell me drop it, and then I get a treat. So again, then we become a vending machine. Okay. So part of this is just going to be, you know, maturity of that bite inhibition will improve as the need to chew decreases. So in the meantime, tagline is really a great option for that. And if you're suspecting that mouth is really, really sore, that we're really having some teething pain, think about all those other options that we talk about. Ice chips, baby carrots, straight out of the fridge, cold, crunchy. Oh, that feels good for them. Okay. Trying to think if there are other suggestions and options. So is it mostly clothing, Caroline?
I think that it is clothing. You hit the nail on the head. It's also skin. You hit the nail on the head with the witching hour because, you know, I follow this crate schedule and he's sleeping and then he's out for 45 minutes or so. And at the end of that 45 minutes, he'll go from playing with something to all of a sudden he turns and he jumps and he bites my husband or me. And we just don't have the tagline ready at hand to succinctly, you know, do it as quickly. So I think that it is, it's mostly a factor of exhaustion, but there are times when he'll just come out of the crate biting, you know? I think if I am diagnosing it, I would say it's because he hasn't yet put together that he's supposed to bite other things. He doesn't, you know, we've been a little too demure, a little too polite about it. We perhaps haven't used the tagline consistently or as quickly as we need to.
Okay. Well, and, you know, good for your objectivity there and looking at what's going on in your household. That's always hard to do, but that's a very good component in our training. With the tagline, don't be concerned that sometimes it will be under their armpits or things like that. And so you do kind of have to rearrange it so that you can be giving that pressure directly upwards. It's okay if you take a couple seconds. So don't worry about the timing there. I would be more concerned with your consistency. Okay. So anytime he's starting to attach and yanking on your pant legs, that you do take the time, get that tagline where it needs to be, and then just do that pressure. Okay. And that you're doing that every time he comes out and he's grabbing your clothing, et cetera. Okay. And reminder, I did a little video that's on the Facebook page that says taglines do work. If you watch that video, you can see that sometimes I'm not doing that immediately with the tagline. I'm not doing that correction immediately because I had to rearrange it. I had to get it where it needed to be. And that's okay. And if you watch with Mikey in that video, initially the first tagline redirection was, it was like a full 5 seconds of me, 1,000, 2,000, just that pressure until he let go. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, right? Because then I let go of the pressure. And then the next correction was like maybe 3 seconds. So those corrections got shorter and shorter as he was figuring out, man, every time I put her pajama pants in my mouth, this happens. Mm-hmm. Not worth it anymore.
I also think we've been shying away from the tagline, which is effective when we can do it for sure. Because I think we're so, like, my husband and I get into a heightened state after we've been bitten on the hand or, you know, and we don't want, like, I'm not in a mood to, like, gently tagline, and I'm too afraid that I'm going to do something more than a gentle tag, you know, to be quite honest. So we just put him in the X-Men and banish him, you know, because obviously we don't want to harm him, but I think we can have some more presence of mind. We can redouble our efforts. And the tagline, you know, a few seconds out seems a much better option than leave it. And I had started rewarding him and I knew this was wrong. So the vending machine behavior that I have, you know, performed. So thank you also for reminding me that we can do the tagline. We can take a second or two to, you know, get it properly situated, and the dog will still understand that that is what we're talking about, you know.
Yeah.
And that I can also take a deep breath before I
exactly. I was just gonna say that, because yes, it is frustrating and we feel like, you know, right?
Yeah.
And hey, God made puppies cute for a reason, right? Because otherwise, And so that is great that you are aware of that, so that you can stop and take a breath, because our energy level is very important when we're training or when we're giving corrections, especially for things like puppy mouthing. If our arousal level is up and we are frustrated, that goes right back to them and it actually increases their arousal level and often makes them bite harder or more persistently. So that we can just kind of be neutral, calm energy, matter of fact, but in control of the situation, that is the atmosphere that we want to have. So very good insight, Caroline. Very awesome. Good.
Thank you for the reinforcement.
And the other thing that you can try too with mouthing, the tagline works really, really great, you know, for clothing, for jumping up, for things like that. When you're on the floor playing, and if they're doing mouthing of hands, often it's very hard if we're on the floor to get that right angle with the tagline. So another thing that you can try with puppy mouthing this sounds counterintuitive because our human reaction is if they're mouthing on us, gnawing on our hands, our human reaction is to
pull away.
And what does that do? We're playing keep away.
Yeah.
And they're going to want it. They're going to want to come after that hand, you know, with more vigor. So what you can try is if they're mouthing, you're actually going to push your hand in further.
I've heard that. I don't know if I can do it. I'll keep it in the back of my mind though.
So you can do that for mouthing. You can do that also for if they're taking treats a little bit too ferociously, that you kind of push it back into them. And it's just going to make them stop and hesitate for a second. Like, you know, what are you doing? Okay. So we're not sticking our hands down their throats and gagging them. You're just going to kind of push in a little bit gently. So another option for you. Okay.
And thank you so much.
Yes. And another tip and reminder for you with mouthing is that if they're mouthing on us when we are playing with them, especially when we have brand new puppies, sometimes our toys are part of the problem. We pick these really cute, tiny puppy toys. They're too small. There's not enough room for us to hold toy and for them to have, for them to have good, you know, mouth-eye coordination and be getting the toy and not our hands. Okay. So if you're playing with them, especially if you're playing tug, use big toys so that you've got a lot of handle. Okay. All right. Gotta check my timer. Okay. All right. What else is going on?
Hey, Sarah, this is Emily. I've just got a question. I do not have my puppy yet, although I've raised a few puppies. So I'm trying to get myself back in the game and remembering everything and learning new things. And so, and I haven't made it through all of the, I love the college so far and everything I've read makes perfect sense. One thing though, that theoretically I always struggle with, you know, I've read so many books, Monk's a New Skeet, all these things. The thing that I don't completely understand and is, I know loose leash walking, right? You're never supposed to, once you allow your dog to pull and go with them, right? You've created a problem and it's harder to undo that. So what I've never understood, and I and maybe this is already in the modules and I just haven't gotten to it, is when we're doing the puppy, the potty training and everything, I mean, right, we've got that leash on them. How are we not, you know, at that point, they're eager to get to their, how do you do both of those things simultaneously, right? You know, have them on the leash for safety, but not allow them to pull.
Excellent question. Okay. So while potty training, yes, we take them on those trips outside and we definitely do want them to be on a leash because they're puppies. Their attention span is this big. And so having them on leash is going to help them focus. And the other part of that is after they do their business, then we can take the leash off. Right? So you've earned some freedom for doing your chores. So a couple things that you can do, especially those first couple weeks when you first bring your puppy home, is when you're going to go outside for potty trips, you are going to pick puppy up and you're going to carry them. So you're going to clip the leash on, get them out to the spot where you want them to be doing their business outside. That is going to help with their success of holding the sphincter, getting to the appropriate spot. It's also going to reduce some of that urgency and potential of pulling on the leash, okay? So that's part number one. Part number two, when you are outside, to prevent them from doing some pulling on the leash is that you can walk with puppy so that they are picking the spot, you know, that perfect, you know, how they do, they need to find the perfect spot to pee. So you can be walking with puppy while they're looking for that perfect spot. If they do start to, you know, bolt out and get to the end of the leash, you would just have it be, you know, like a normal training session, practicing leash manners inside the house. Don't go with them. Don't go with them and let them drag you around. So at that point, stop in your tracks, say their name, pat your leg, and have them come back with you. And when you are outside for those potty trips, another thing that can help encourage them to do their job quickly outside and can help prevent some of the pulling is that you're going to be walking them in kind of a circle. Dogs do that anyway, right? They do circles when they're getting ready to do their business. So that can help elicit and encourage a fast pee. And by walking in a circle, it's going to help reduce that. I'm pulling my human.
Okay.
Right?
Great. Thank you.
Good thinking ahead of how to incorporate that. Very good. All right. What else is going on? And Nancy Bogey's back home and now he's a loudmouth.
He's allowed out?
No, a loudmouth.
Yes. Yes. He does stop pretty easily, but he definitely lets me know if there are golfers outside or when somebody's arrived at the door, or he just wants to stand there and bark to get my attention. So I do have a question for him. He's home for a while now. I haven't decided if we're going to do the Dallas show or not. I think it's probably just a lot of expense with no show points. But he will be going back out. In the meantime, I took him to Rally the other day and he won't sit. Go figure. Am I destroying my handler's beautiful stand?
Okay. Nope, you are not. And she is a great handler and she is a very nice woman as well. So she's not going to be one of these people that's, you know, going to get on your case for why are you teaching him sit? So I have found that the people who will tell you that you can't teach a show dog to sit are the people that only do confirmation. So, you know, Bogey's a smart little guy and we need to give dogs more credit. They completely know the difference.
Right.
Right. We've talked about that. They have their uniforms.
Right.
So he's got his little jewel collar, his uniform for confirmation. He knows what to do when that collar's on. And he also knows the cues of what, Lori, is that her name? The handler. What her body language is doing.
Yeah.
Right? Completely different body language of this is confirmation and I'm kind of turning my body towards you versus obedience and route is this, right? Very square shoulders, standing up straight. Our arm is up here with the leash. They've got a different collar on. They know the difference. To the point of if I get out my coursing slip leads for lure coursing, mm-hmm. we're going to chase the fake bunnies. They know exactly what's going to happen. And automatically leash manners go out the window.
We're doing that this weekend with my 7-year-old who does everything independently and in slow motion. So I'll be interested to see how he does.
It's always fun to see what they're going to do with the lure coursing, but you know, any other time for my dogs, leash manners apply and right. They know, you know,
you can tell the dogs in the show ring that have had obedience training. I handled so many of them holding them and whatnot. And most of them don't have very good manners.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He will know the difference. And so, you know, even from Rally, the smart little boogers, they see those signs and the cones on the floor. And they're like, oh, we're doing this. Okay.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
He'll be fine. You can play rally games with him and not destroy his show career.
Okay.
And even, okay, this is to the extreme, but talking about uniforms, I know of breeders that will have for their stud dogs have special collars that they get to wear when it's date time. They know the difference. They're like, ooh, a girl is coming. Yeah, they know. And any other time, no, you can't go smelling and you can't go mounting, but you've got your date collar on. Okay.
Something to think about for the future.
Okay, what else is going on, guys? Everybody's being quiet and has perfect puppies. We have had a discussion lately. One of the topics on Facebook is just planning ahead for holidays with company coming and things like that. So you might want to check some of those topics out. And we did talk about it, I think, two coaching calls ago, of some tips and some planning ahead strategies. You've got time. You've got a couple weeks before Thanksgiving. So if you want to start teaching your dog's place where they have a mat in a designated spot, you can start on that now. It probably won't be very reliable in 2 weeks, but you can start. And place is a really nice thing, a nice skill for dogs to have. You can also be teaching your dogs some boundaries as far as the kitchen. So my dogs know get out means you get out of the kitchen, and they know where the threshold is. So if you've got two different types of flooring where your kitchen ends, that is very helpful because dogs will understand the difference in the surface. If you don't have a different type of flooring between your kitchen and the living room or the dining room or whatever, you can even put a piece of painter's tape on the floor temporarily. And that's the boundary. Get out. Get out means you're going to be on that side, not in the kitchen while I'm with a boiling pot of potatoes or et cetera. So also a very nice, useful command to have.
Sarah, has there ever been any modules about hot spots? We just seem to be struggling this year.
I'm trying to think. There might have been something in a blog, but we don't have anything specifically in a module for hot spots. And that can be such a tricky one because it's seasonal, you know, et cetera. One thing that I recently came across of, you know, silly me, I've heard about it for years and never bothered to try it, but chlorhexidine shampoo, really, yeah, it really is as good as people say. I've had one dog that it's just kind of a folliculitis. Vets don't know what the heck it is. It's not allergies. It's not hives. Her thyroid is fine. So it's, you know, it's none of those things. And it doesn't seem to bug her. But her skin has always just kind of been bumpy. And I tried the chlorhexidine shampoo. And I actually did follow the instructions where you lather. And I really scrubbed it in, and then you let it sit for like 5 minutes. And for the first time, I feel so badly. Why didn't I try this years ago? Because she's had this for years. So that one bathing, gone, completely gone. Yeah. And it really released a lot of her dead undercoat. And I think that's what was causing the folliculitis. And then on Frankie, you know, who is about Bogey's age. Right. Oh my goodness. It got rid of all that kind of woolly puppy coat.
Right. Huh.
Yeah. So maybe give that a try.
Okay. Well, my dogs right now are okay, but my daughter's senior husky mix, once they start, it's underneath the collar, and they had actually gone to the vet for bathing and they didn't get her dry. And Julie ended up back at the vet, and thankfully they didn't charge her, but you know, it was a steroid shot and powders and everything else, and the trauma for this particular dog of going back to the vet. And it just seems, you know, I've had two or three of them this season, and she's had one, and I'm always scrambling for resources that aren't vet visits, but if they need to go. And they weep so fast, they change by the hour.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, you know, I've heard kind of mixed feedback about some of the other topical products for hot spots, but you know, even looking at the chlorhexidine, the shampoo, the directions on the back, it specifically will say that it will treat bacterial and fungal. So okay. I'm thinking that, you know, maybe give that a, you know, give that a try. Easy thing to try at home, and hopefully preventing the steroid shots and, you know, all those things.
Somebody also told me yesterday about Bragg's apple cider vinegar. We didn't try it because she was too nervous that it was growing by the hour, but one of those things.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really heard anything, you know, specifically for vinegar with hot spots. I've heard about it for other things.
Well, this was a Doberman who doesn't have the coat that a golden retriever has too.
Yeah. Or the husky all that undercoat, is why I'm thinking that, you know, hey, maybe the chlorhexidine.
Yeah. I'll pick some up. Do you get it at Tractor Supply or someplace like that?
I think they do have it. I just got it from Amazon, and you know, yeah, just so that I could make sure I was getting exactly what I wanted. And you know, $10.
Yeah. Good thing to have on hand. Thank you.
Yeah. If they try that, if Liz tries that, let me know. I'm curious.
I will.
Because for some other coat issues, that shampoo has done some amazing things for my dogs. So be curious to know if it works for hot spots as well.
Hopefully we won't have to try it for a while, since it was 45 this morning and the dogs aren't using the pool.
That will help.
Yeah. Put it on hand in case.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, cause like I said, even with Frankie, that she didn't have any coat or skin issues, but all the puppy, that woolly, you know, undercoat, that puppy coat, it all came out. It was, you know, my husband walked out and because I was bathing them on the patio, and he came out and I was brushing her after I dried her off. And he's like, she's red. She's not blonde anymore. All the puppy coat came out.
I recently had a puppy pyoderma diagnosis from my vet. Just, it looks like a little, he was scratching quite a bit, and that was their diagnosis. And the chlorhexidine wash also was very helpful in that case. So second for the chlorhexidine. I read online also vinegar, but they recommended chlorhexidine, and that was very helpful for the mini golden. So if that's helpful to the conversation.
Good. No, thank you for sharing that, Caroline. Yeah. And another benefit is, you know, then your dog doesn't smell like a salad either with the chlorhexidine. So that's a perk. All right. Anything else, guys?
Sarah, this is Ramona.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sarah, this is Ramona with Katie again. We are still having problems with the grab and go, but now she does it a little bit more slowly, but trying to get something from her is very difficult. Even with having a treat or cornering her, she's just still having trouble where she doesn't want to give it up and she thinks it's a big game.
Okay.
Do you have any other suggestions?
I do. And Ramon, I can't remember. Are you on the Facebook page? I don't think you are.
I do look at the Facebook page, yes.
Okay, all right. Because I just posted, because this has kind of been a topic for a lot of people lately about adolescent dogs stealing things. And so that and demand barking. So I did just post a video from a couple of years ago when I was doing a private session with one of my former students and their dog.
Okay, is that with the darker colored dog?
Yeah, with the, she's a collie?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So
there are a couple really important things that are happening in that video. What Andrew and his wife were doing with Lyra when she was stealing things is, number one, they were going after her, and that makes it a game. The other thing that they were doing is they were tending to kind of reach out and snatch the item away, which that also makes things a game of keep away. So in that video, because he and I did a lot of talking before we started working on things and before I was doing any recording. So you can see at one point in the video that she's kind of playing keep away with the Frisbee, and he starts to reach out. And before I said anything, he caught himself and he put his hands back. Okay. So it sounds really counterintuitive that you're like, the dog stole something, I need to get it, right? So what you want to do instead is, he went over to Lyra because she was trying to play keep away with the Frisbee, and he just went calmly, you know, not with any speed or haste or excitement on his part. He just calmly walked over to her. She was still blowing him off. She wouldn't sit, she wouldn't drop it. So then I just had him, I'm like, stand on it, stand on the Frisbee, okay? So if she's doing that, where she's got something on the ground, I would try that. Because then
we can't even get that close to her to stand on.
Okay.
I mean, she just takes off. And especially if it's something that we can't have her chew on, like the other day was a sales receipt, and she went literally in my purse to take it out, and my purse was quite high, and she'll find a way to get it, and by the time I do get it, it's demolished. So how do you do that?
So in that scenario, to prevent the bolting, you've got a couple options, and one would be that she's got a long line on. So kind of like a tagline that she's dragging. So like a long leash, but it doesn't have a handle, so it's not getting stuck on things.
Okay.
So that way, if she starts to bolt, you can gently step on the end of the leash, and then you kind of walk your way towards her so that she can't go and dart off.
Okay, so a longer tagline. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because the short one, we just can't get to her. She already knows the distance. And so
little booger.
Yeah. So, okay. We'll just put a longer tagline on her. And okay.
I would definitely try that, because the more chances she has to repeat this and bolt and play keep away, the more of a habit it's becoming. And hey, she's being successful. Look at her in control of this game. She is making her people play this game. So we need to do something so that we can eliminate that, where she's got that edge on us.
Okay.
So,
okay.
I would try that. And if that's not working, I do have another idea or another suggestion. if we need to go that far for kind of a more intrusive redirection with her. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Okay.
All right. Anything else, guys?
Nope. Oh, I wanted to mention there was a lady on the last Zoom call. When I was speaking of a new fence, because the plastic one was getting eaten, and yeah, she suggested the rabbit one. It works great.
Yay!
And it even looks better. And so, yes, I wanted to, I don't remember who suggested the rabbit fence, but it works great. And we don't have the chewing and the biting anymore.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you for, you know, that feedback of, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to say, put out there, thanks to whoever suggested the rabbit fence.
Good. Okay. Glad to know that is a good option. So, yeah. You
can just not the plastic.
Yep. And not the ugly, sharp chicken wire either.
No. And so I'm really glad that she had suggested the rabbit, because it works really well.
Excellent. Very happy to hear that. Okay. Is that it, guys? All right. We can go ahead and wrap it up for today then. So excellent questions. Happy training to everybody. If you've got questions before our next coaching call on Tuesday, November 9th at 6:30 Eastern Time, feel free to drop me an email or on the Facebook page. All right. Bye, guys. Thanks.